is very important that you follow the protocol. Praise God. Without showing honor, you cannot operate or function in the apostolic government of God properly. It's so important that we, number one, honor God, honor the apostolic, honor apostles, honor prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, you know, giving honor, as I said, to whom honor is due. Going back to what I said, I am a repeater, so I'll say things that I know you need to get down in your spirit. Because without showing honor towards your apostolic source, and I'll talk a little bit more about apostolic source and a little later, what's on him, the apostle or the pastor or the person that you're submitting to, will not come on you. If you don't know how to honor properly, what's on them will not be transferred over to you because you didn't sow into the anointing that's on the apostle's life or your pastor's life, you know. And it's not just sowing money, but sowing your time, sowing your talent, and sowing your resources, you know, actually sowing your life. You know, when you honor properly, you're sowing your life into a ministry, sowing your life into a project, sowing your life into something that's dear to you. And you're giving 100+% to whatever you do. And that's so very important. You don't want to never go into anything half-heartedly because that's what you're going to get out. If you only go in 50%, you may get 50%. You might not even get that. But when you go into, give you an example. Whenever I'm asked to do an assignment here at church, everything else takes a back seat to that assignment. Even when I was working, I've been retired now for right at 5 years. But if I got an assignment from Apostle Thompson, my job took a back seat. If I was asked to minister on a Wednesday night, that Wednesday, I was not showing up for work. I'm taking vacation. I always kept a minimum of 2 weeks that I carried over every year that I was set aside to use if I was given an assignment or if Apostle was going somewhere and I needed to be there, where I could take off and be where my man of God is or do what my man of God has assigned me to do. I remember a year or so ago, really not even a good year ago, me and a good friend of mine, my wife and his wife, we were looking at going to a concert in New Orleans. And we had planned it several months in advance. Well, the day before the concert, I get a call from one of the ministers here at church saying, Apostle needs for you to minister on a Wednesday, tomorrow. I said, yes, sir. So immediately I told my wife, you know, we got to cancel those plans. I called my friend. We got to cancel those plans because I got a greater assignment. I, like I said, I put everything else on the back burner. I mean, tickets were, you know, $200-$300. It didn't matter, you know. But see, that's honoring the apostolic. That's putting first things first. And that's so very important. Amen. All right. My job as an instructor is to provide you with accurate biblical information concerning the spirit of honor, which will facilitate you in receiving the needed impartation from the apostles in his class. Actually, all the classes, our job is to undergird apostle and to help you to understand the apostolic better so that you can honor better, so that you can develop the culture of honor better in the culture of honor class, how to be led by the Spirit so that you can hear God and know his voice and follow better. So every class, prayer class, so that you know how to pray properly and by all means, you know, praying in the Holy Spirit and getting revelation, knowledge, and insight from God. Amen? All right. This is what every increasing training center is all about. Receiving information that adds to revelation will equal impartation in your life. All these classes are designed to help you receive the needed impartation from the apostles' class. manifestation in your life and ministry is so very important so that you can experience that manifestation. Amen. So if you qualify, you can become a candidate for the anointing, that apostolic grace that's on apostles' life. You must be willing to endure an awesome price to receive that apostolic grace upon your life. But it is worth it. Amen? It's worth it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want you to examine your hearts as you embark on this investigative study of the spirit of honor. Amen? Research your own heart to see, listen up, where there may be areas in your life where you have sowed dishonor, so that you can learn what dishonor is, so that you can begin to reverse the negative effects that dishonor brings by sowing seeds of honor. Amen. You're going to hear me talk a lot about blessing and cursing in the course of these class sessions, because when you walk in honor, you're walking in the blessing. It opens the door for the blessing of God to come upon your life. But when you walk in dishonor, it causes God to kind of, in a sense, back away or take his hand back. And now the curse can come upon your life, which is something the enemy will try to bring upon your life. Listen up. Honor releases the blessing, all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do. Dishonor releases the curse, poverty, sickness, death, nothing going well in your life. It opens the door for the enemy now to cause the curse to come upon your life. Satan wants to throw calamity, disheartenment, discontentment into your life. But when you learn how to walk in honor properly and reverse any negative impacts of dishonor, and sometimes, and we're going to get to that in a second, but sometimes people don't walk in honor properly because they really just haven't been taught. They may follow the status quo of doing everything everybody else does, which in a lot of instances ain't going to be good enough. The scripture says in Proverbs 26:2, as the bird by wandering and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, there's always a reason why curses, mishaps, and calamity comes upon an individual. Is because something you didn't do or are doing wrong is not allowing the blessing to come forward like it should, and in reverse now the curse is operating in your life, you know. And a lot of times I tell people, and I say, if things are not going well in your life, go back and find or remember or go back to that spot. The last thing God had called you and told you to do. Listen up. If things aren't going well in your life, go back and find the last thing that God spoke to your heart. And once you do that, and begin to pick up that assignment, what you were told to do that you dropped. That's when now you're going, because you see, a lot of times honor is undergirding your pastor, undergirding your man of God, and doing it with a sense of respect and dignity and putting all you have into it. Because I can tell you from experience, and I'll go into some, one of the things I'm also be doing a lot in this class is I call them taking little side journeys or going off the beaten path. I'll share experiences about my life, maybe my family's life, how because we honored our man of God, because we stuck with the assignment, the blessing just profusely began to abound in our lives, you know. And sometimes we don't even know how it happened. But when you look back, it's this, I don't even want to call it a sacrifice, but it's operating in obedience, you know. Amen. All right. I already read Proverbs 26 and 3. As the bird by wandering and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. There's always a reason when the curse comes on your life. It doesn't come by accident. So now we want to begin to sow seeds of honor that will allow the blessings of God to come upon your life and abide. Amen. All right, I'm going to read some verses out of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 through 10. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate or reciprocate by sowing into their lives unto him that teacheth in all good things. That's sowing honor. Verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 9, Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary. Now this is very important in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Or if you don't give up, don't cave in, and don't quit. You know, verse 9, don't be weary. Don't get discouraged. I see so many people who are on the right path and doing the right things, honoring their man of God. But the enemy, right before their victory, right before their breakthrough, right before the blessing begin to manifest in their lives, they give up. They get weary. They give up. They cave in and they quit. And you know, they miss out on the greater blessing of God because they didn't stick with the assignment. They didn't stick with the program. They didn't stick with the protocol. They start looking at other things. And you know, you always want to stay focused. You know, my uncle would plow my grandmother's field with a mule. We used to call him Old Pete. And they put blinders on Old Pete. So he couldn't look to the left or the right. And they had a ring in his mouth to keep him straight so he can plow that row straight. And not be distracted by what's happening on either side of him. You know, sometimes you have to just put blinders on. And irregardless of what might be happening on either side of you, you know, stay in your lane. Stay focused on your assignment. Stay focused on what God has told you to do, what your man of God has given you to do. And in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not, if you don't give up, cave in, and quit. Amen. Verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity. Now listen up. This is the key verse to everything I read in Galatians 6 through 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That is known as a do-good seed. You can sow a do-good seed into the apostolic or to your apostle or your pastor who is an apostolic pastor. You know, when I say a pastor, I'm talking about an apostolic pastor. Some pastor who's under the umbrella and under the mantle of an apostle. Because when you set up the kingdom of God and the government of God, you know, Jesus Christ, he is the chief cornerstone. He is the chief apostle. And he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's handing out instructions to his apostles and his prophets who are setting up the government, the apostolic government of God. You know, and pastors and evangelists and pastors and teachers need to be submitted to an apostle and a prophet so they can get proper instructions. God always uses a man. He uses a man. You know, and it's so very important that we understand, you know, if we don't submit to apostolic government, to an apostle or a prophet, we really are not submitting to God because they are God's mouthpiece. They bring heaven down to earth. They get instructions from heaven, and they bring those instructions down here to us on earth, and it's for us to obey and to follow those instructions so that the blessing from heaven can flow down in our lives. Amen? All right. There's always a reason why negative consequences and occurrences, which is the curse, keep happening in a person's life. Could it be they are not properly honoring the men and women of God that God has placed in their lives? With that said, you never want to put your mouth on a man or a woman of God by speaking negatively or wrongfully towards them. When you do that, you have just sown a tremendous seed of dishonor. I'm going to say that again because you'll see it again. When you put your mouth on a man or a woman of God by speaking wrongfully and negatively towards them, you have just sown a tremendous seed of dishonor. People don't have a problem respecting and honoring God, but they do have a problem at times respecting God's servants. You know, and I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. When I say God's servants, I'm talking about apostles and prophets. This is dishonor. If you don't respect God's servants, his apostles and prophets, you're not respecting God. Amen? And that's so very important that we understand that. You never want to put your mouth on a man of God by speaking negatively towards him. This is a tremendous dishonor. I remember Kenneth Hagin said once, he says, I can't say nothing. If I can't say nothing good about a person, I just won't say nothing. There were times they would ask him about a person who went rogue or went off the beaten path. And they'll say, well, do you know him? Tell us something about him. And he said, yeah, I know him. And that's all he would say. He would never put his mouth on that person negatively, especially if they were a minister, a man of God. I remember some 25 plus years ago, I don't know how long it was, but there was a man in our area, in our region, who was a very prominent minister, evangelist of God, who got in error. And I remember apostle from the pulpit telling us, don't put your mouth on him. Says anybody who's ministered and ministered to thousands and seen thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people get saved, you know, even though he made a mistake, you don't put your mouth on him. And I remember seeing him at a restaurant with a friend of mine, probably some 20 plus years ago. And the friend was speaking negatively about him. I didn't say anything, you know, but I didn't take up for him or defend him in anything. And I felt bad about that. And I said, if I ever get a chance to get close to him again, I'm going to sow into his life. And so there's a restaurant sometimes we go to after church. And about 2-3 years ago, I saw him at the restaurant. And as he was getting up, I beckoned for him. I told the waiter, I said, whatever they're having at that table, don't let them pay for it. I got the whole table. You know, it was his son, his wife, his daughter-in-law, and maybe one or two other people. And he thanked me. He came up to me, shook my hand, he thanked me. And I said, no, I want to thank you. That's the least I could do for what you've done to the body of Christ. A year or two later, I see him again. They were getting ready to leave as we walked in. I reached in my pocket. I found the biggest bill I had. I don't remember what it was. I said, how you doing, sir? And I shook his hand, and he received the bill. And he says, I receive it. Thank you. You know, but see, that's showing honor to whom honor is due. And my time is just ticking away. But like I said, I want to take my time with this and make sure you understand the importance of honor. Okay? Honor needs to be displayed in your life, in every level, and in every circle of your life, from the White House to your personal house. From showing honor, listen up, to your parents, to your children, showing honor to your children, showing honor to you, to showing honor to civil and governmental authorities, teachers, bosses, mayors, judges, governors, and even the President of the United States. And most definitely to men and women of God, the fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Sowing honor to the elderly, and especially you must sow to those who are in spiritual authority over you, you know, your spiritual father, your apostle, or your pastor. That's so very important. There are different ranks, levels, positions of delegated authority with different anointings. We are all not equal. We need to learn how to tell the difference and know who has authority or who has rank so we can properly show honor to those possessing authority. Members of the body of Christ, like I said, are not all equal in position or rank. As Miriam found out, Miriam, Moses' sister, she thought she could hear from God just like Moses, but she was wrong because she was Moses' sister. She thought she could instruct him concerning his marriage because he married an Ethiopian woman, and she thought it was wrong, and she spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman. Just because Moses' just because she was Moses' older sister didn't give her the right to speak into his life by trying to determine who he should marry. God says, you know, I'll speak to some men in a similitude and in a shadow, you know, or through a dream or a vision. He said, but Moses, I speak to him mouth to mouth. He said, who are you to try to instruct Moses? If I want to instruct or correct Moses, I'm going to do it mouth to mouth. You know, and I have a real life illustration here, but I'm going to skip it for the next time. All right, because my time is well spent. Okay, let's move on. Sowing seeds of honor. Listen up. This is going to be based upon a scripture in Genesis 8:22. Sowing seeds of honor is an established kingdom principle based on the spiritual law of sowing and reaping, which is found in Genesis 8:22. Sowing seeds of honor is an established, in other words, it's been established since Genesis. You know, as the earth remained, let me read that scripture properly. While the earth remained, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So as long as the earth is turning, as long as there's day and night, hot and cold, the four seasons, the law of Genesis, which is the law of sowing and reaping, will be in operation. And so sowing seeds of honor is an established kingdom principle based on that law. Praise God. Amen. Okay, listen up. With that said, you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. You never want to go before a man of God empty-handed, or without showing some kind of honor before him. That's very important. I try to always keep a good bill. I say a good bill of 20, a 50, a 100 in my wallet. If I know I might be in contact or, you know, close proximity to my man of God. So when I have opportunity, I can sow into his life. You know, sow into him so that the blessings can come down. Amen. So you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. There was a situation in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, where Saul was told to go and find some donkeys or something that had gotten lost. And he was with his servant. And this is kind of how it went. And he said unto him, behold, now, this is Saul speaking, there is a man of God. There is in this city a man of God who is an honorable man. That's coming out of the scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 6 and 8. You can look it up yourself. All that he says surely comes to pass. Now let us go preadventure so he can show us our way that we should go. Like I said, a man of God is an honorable man. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessel, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? So Saul said, we need to go before him, but, you know, my pockets are empty. I ain't got nothing to give to him. And in verse 8, his servant bailed him out. He says, and the servant answered and said, Saul, behold, I have at my hand a fourth part of shekel of silver that we can give to the man of God to tell us our way. And they went, you know, before Samuel, and they honored him with the silver, you know. And I'm kind of paraphrasing the rest of it, but Samuel gave Saul some instructions, and we're not going to go into it, but all of it is there in that 1 Samuel 6 chapter. And the conclusion of that was that Saul was turned into another man. When you honor your man of God, and now the transfer takes place, the anointing that's on him comes upon you. The Bible says that, you know, you can literally be turned into another man. Amen. And that's what happened to him. It says, a man's gift will make room for him. Okay, this is Proverbs 18 and 16. A man's gift, his seed, will make room for him and bring him before great men. A man's seed will make room for him. Amen. Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. You're going to hear me talk a lot about sowing and reaping, sowing seeds of honor, because that's how you acquire honor. Okay, there's other ways, not just seed sowing, but you can also sow honor to your man of God by when you start applying the spiritual principles that he or she teaches and you start getting results in your life. Your man and your woman of God becomes ecstatic when they see what they've been preaching and teaching to you day after day, year after year, and begin to see the manifestations in your life. You know, I remember some several years ago when my wife and I first got out of debt, and I think I went up to the pulpit and I sold a seed into Apostle. I said, Apostle, me and my wife, we were completely and totally out of debt. We owe no man nothing but to love him. And I saw the look in his face, like, praise God, he was ecstatic. And then I happened to look over it on the first row and saw the first family. I saw them, you know, Miss Carolyn, Reverend Leroy Jr., Reverend Montrell, they were all, wow, yeah, yeah. Then I looked two or three rows past. Everybody was kind of, you know. That let me know how important it was to my man of God and how excited he was that the principles were working in my life. I got 23 seconds left. All right, I'm going to read this. The anointing of God always flows down from the head to every part of the body of Christ. When you align yourself properly and honor the apostolic source, the man of God in your life, the anointing will flow down into your life and elevate you to another level. I'm going to read it one more time. Time is out, but I'll go ahead so you can get it. The anointing of God always flows down from the head part of the body of Christ, just like the anointing all that flowed down from Aaron's beard. When you read Psalms 133 and 1, that it'll flow down when you align and you position yourself properly where you're supposed to be, your assignment, sticking with it. That anointing will flow into your life and it will elevate you to another level. With that said, I'm concluding and I'll see you next week. I'm looking forward to this year. I'm excited for what God's going to be doing in your life and ministry. Amen. God bless.